Your relationship with money and your ability to get it, to make it flow to you, to come to you, to accumulate it in whatever way you choose and whatever way you desire is governed by invisible money scripts. Invisible money scripts. And these are essentially stories that we tell ourselves based in culture and that go back to our childhoods. And, number one, we have to understand what invisible money scripts we have. And number two, we need to make a conscious decision to see that money script and to choose whether that's the story that we want to continue to tell ourselves. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. These are the proven direct response marketing, copywriting, and entrepreneurship success strategies you can use today to write your own ticket and create the life you want. I am Roy Furr, and this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Now, here's today's breakthrough. So, what do you believe about money? What do you believe about money? Let me throw a couple out there that are very common. Money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. Money doesn't grow on trees. Money doesn't grow on trees. It's my hard-earned money. It's my hard-earned money. How are things like this influencing your ability to get money? The reality is, even if you don't recognize it, they are. And so, like, money is the root of all evil. Well, first off, that's a misquote. It's for the love of money is the root of all evil. And the love of money, by that, the interpretation that I have of that is that the love of money over everything else is the root of all evil. Like, if you are completely in love with money, you will choose to do things that are destructive to other people, to relationships, to the world around you, because you believe that money is more important than that. And certainly there are people out there who are great case studies in that. But money itself is, I don't believe, is the root of all evil. In fact, you'll hear more about my invisible money scripts that I've started to develop in a moment. Money doesn't grow on trees. Okay, literally, yeah, money doesn't grow on trees. But what that's basically saying is that money is extremely limited and it creates this limited view of money. And the reality is that money is not nearly as limited as that suggestion would puts out there. In fact, money does grow on plants and governments are creating money all the time, and they're increasing the money supply, and they're making money out of plants and by metal. And so it is really not limited in the way that saying suggests. What about hard-earned money? That implies that money has to be hard-earned. There's a lot of people who go through their entire life believing that you just have to work harder to get more money. And the reality is that you only have so much time and effort that you can put into whatever work generates your money. And so if you can imagine easy earned money, if you can imagine money that has come to you surprisingly easily, that's a great way to flip that, because easy earned money is, of course, not going to run into that limitation of hard effort put into it. And you're not going to wear yourself out nearly as quickly. So maybe you can find opportunities for easier money if you start to think about it. So, that's just playing with those three different very common invisible money scripts that people have. But the question is, like, how are these scripts and the scripts that we either inherited through our culture, through our family, through our upbringing, or that we choose, how are they influencing our ability to get money? Well, I believe firmly that your subconscious thoughts create your reality. And by that, I don't mean that what you think is like changing the physical world around you. I haven't seen evidence for that yet. I'm not saying that you can necessarily just like manifest money. Like, I'm not doing the woo-woo, right? But our subconscious thoughts, these invisible money scripts, create our behavior. They impact our behavior. They impact how we show up in the world. They impact the things that we say and the things that we do and the decisions that we make and the choices to go in one direction over another. And all of those things work together and are constantly influencing how the world is responding to us, how the world is reacting to us. We put behavior out there and the world responds. We put behavior out there and the world responds. We put behavior out there and the world responds. And, you know, this could be as simple as your next selling conversation or the next piece of copy you write. If you approach your next selling conversation, your next piece of copy, your next marketing message, from the perspective of money is really hard to earn. And because it's so hard to earn, you should think carefully whether or not you buy my product or service. And if you bring that attitude into your sales message, if you put that attitude in that message, you're going to end up in a situation where your prospect is on a subconscious level, probably, and maybe occasionally consciously, depending on your word choices, that they're feeling those same feelings, that money is hard to come by, that money is a challenge, that is hard earned. And it doesn't put somebody in a buying mood to be asked to spend their hard-earned money. Now, there are some exceptions. For example, if you're talking about protecting your money, if you're talking about reducing taxes, you might actually say, hey, we'll help you keep your hard-earned money. And that's an example where that money script becomes useful in a selling situation. But if you're asking somebody to invest money, you might want to focus on that disposable income that they have, that they're going to spend on something this week. They're going to spend on something next week. And that disposable income, you know, every 2 weeks, if they get paid every 2 weeks, every month, whatever, there's a certain amount, maybe it's a few hundred, maybe it's a few $1,000s in disposable income that they have lots of choices of how they're going to spend it. They can spend that disposable income going out to restaurants and just having an interesting experience there. They can spend it on, you know, some gadget that's going to go like in a closet and get forgotten about within 3 months. They can spend it on, you know, some dumb thing or another, or they can spend it on a product that's going to improve their life in remarkable and dramatic and positive ways. And that disposable income is an opportunity for them to improve their life. And thank God that they have this disposable income flowing through their life that they're capable of spending on things that can make their lives better. And so you see, like, by switching it from hard-earned money to disposable income, like there's a script change that goes on there. There's a new story that's assigned to a certain amount of money. It doesn't have to be all the money that they bring home. It doesn't have to be all the money in their account. But if you assign that disposable income story to the money that they're spending on your product or service, and all the other promises line up and are, you know, legitimate, like what they're going to get out of the product or service, well, it makes it easy for them to make that decision that, hey, this is probably a good use of my disposable income. So some other better money scripts, I just took some notes here. I'm worthy of money. Money comes to me. Money comes to me. Money comes to me. I'm worthy of money. I create value in the world, and I'm rewarded with money for the value that I create. And the more people whose lives I bring value to, the more I'm rewarded. There really is a ton of money that's flowing everywhere, and some of it, maybe even a lot of it, can flow to me. Like, money's flowing everywhere. If you go out there, you go to like the mall, or go to Vegas, or go to Disney World, or go to New York City, or go to Hollywood, or go, you know, anywhere where people are spending a lot of money, and you're going to see that there is a ton of money flowing around, and some of it can absolutely flow to you. There are sufficient resources to meet everyone's needs. There's sufficient resources to meet everyone's needs. The reality is that's been true for a long time. And resource misallocation is largely, unfortunately, the reason that some humans still struggle to meet basic needs. But there are sufficient resources to meet everyone's needs. And there's no reason that you should not have a sufficient amount of resources to meet your needs. How about this one? Money is neither good nor bad. Money is neutral. I believe this one firmly. Money is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It does amplify the intentions of those who use it. So it's like a magnifying glass for the intentions of the people who use it. The money itself is neutral, but it's an amplifier. It makes the intentions of the human beings who are wielding this particular financial resource, it makes their intentions more powerful. Good people can do more good with money, and bad people can do more bad with money, and dumb people can do more dumb with money, and smart people can do more smart with money. But it's none of those things. Money isn't smart or dumb or good or bad or whatever. It's just an it's a resource. It's a neutral resource that can amplify whatever intention we put behind it. I am a good steward of the money and the wealth that I touch. I'm a good steward of the money and the wealth that I touch. I'm going to take care of the money that that comes to me while I have it. Money is a tool I can use to make my world a better place. Money is a tool I can use to make my world a better place. Now, that's intentionally kind of non-specific and broadly applicable, that my world could be, you know, my immediate house. It could be my home. I can make my home a better place with money. I could make my kids' lives a better place with money. I could make my own life a better place with money. I can make my experiences of the world a better place with money, but also I can make my community a better place with money. I can make the world a better place with money. I can make someone else's life a better place with money, someone else's world. My world is wherever I put my attention, and I can make it better with the resource, the tool of money. Money is a tool that I can use to make my world a better place. Money is constantly coming and going, but we can choose the lasting impact it creates. So think about that money as disposable income thing. Like you constantly, so this is really interesting. So the gross domestic product is a measurement of like all the transactions that take place in an economy in a year. And so the gross domestic product of a country, the US, it's currently around 20 trillion or so. The actual money in circulation is a fraction of that. It's in the single digit trillions. That the actual money that's circulating out in the economy is a fraction of the total transactions that take place in the economy. And the reality is that those transactions don't even include all of the financial transactions of like trading stocks, trading money, whatever. That in like the currency markets, there's a huge, like trillions of dollars traded every day. And I risk actually misquoting that number because I didn't look at it before I started recording this video. But the point is that money is just flowing everywhere all the time. Money is moving everywhere. It's constantly coming and going. And when you make a certain amount of money at the end of the year, it's not like your bank account grew by that much unless you didn't spend any money on anything. What happens is money comes to you and it goes and it comes to you and it goes and it comes to you and it goes, and it's happening all the time. And it's constantly coming and going, but we can choose the lasting impact that it creates. So we can choose, you know, are we creating a business with it? Are we buying a house with it? Are we filling landfills with junk that we buy and then use up and throw away? What is the lasting impact that we are creating with our money? And so money is constantly coming and going, but we can choose the lasting impact it creates, even just on our lives. Like, are we investing in a TV that we don't need because we already have four other TVs in our house? Or are we investing in education that can help us create a bigger impact in the world and maybe generate even more money for ourselves and to make our world a better place in different ways? Money is important, and even more important are the people, experiences, and relationships that can be created and helped with money. Money is important, and even more important are the people, experiences, and relationships that can be created and helped with money. That money, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? That saying, I believe the original intention behind that saying is that putting money above people, experiences, and relationships creates evil. It is there. There's whatever, however you want to define the evil. Like it's a destructive force to put money above people, experiences, relationships, the world at large, and God, if that's where your belief is. But if you put the people, experiences, and relationships above money, and that like that doesn't require money to become nothing or trash, right? If you prioritize people, experiences, relationships above money, you can still accumulate money and you can actually use it. You can use it to create experiences and relationships and help relationships and help people. You can use it in a positive way to feed your higher purposes, right? And then money can be the root of good, right? I choose to use my disposable income less on short-term pleasures and junk and more on improving my life in meaningful ways. I choose to use my disposable income less on short-term pleasures and junk and more on improving my life in meaningful ways. This one to me has become pretty important. I'm not a minimalist. I kind of suck at being a minimalist because I'm a pack rat to some degree, and like, you know, shelves of books and things like that all contribute to that. But I've also learned, you know, one of the most important things for me is something that I've realized, I've learned that a lot of very wealthy people share, like a trait that they share, that they like to buy quality once. They like to buy quality once. So if you buy, actually this wallet is a really good example. This wallet is from Saddleback Leather. And Saddleback Leather, one of their marketing slogans, a marketing slogan is, they'll fight over it when you're dead. They'll fight over it when you're dead. And they have a 100-year guarantee on their leather products. Now, if you have bought a men's wallet and stored it in your pocket for an extended period of time, and gone through your daily life with a wallet in your back pocket, you know that wallets get destroyed quickly. And most leather wallets are, frankly, junk. But this Saddleback Leather wallet with a 100-year guarantee, the leather components of this wallet are in almost as pristine of condition as they were the day that I got it. And it's, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, I think, at this point. And I don't put plastic card sleeves in it. It has a place for my cards. And it is designed to last 100 years. The thread chosen, the internal and external leather are actually different. There's all sorts of different, they actually put out a whole video about how to knock off Saddleback Leather products. And they talk about all the decisions that you can make to make a leather product cheaper. And when you make all those decisions, how it leads to an inferior quality product. So buying Saddleback Leather, you know, I apologize if you don't like leather products or animal products, but buying Saddleback Leather is buying quality once. And it's, to me, it's far better than buying, you know, some cheap wallet for, you know, maybe I can get it for a tenth of the price and only have 10 wallets in my lifetime or something. But I would much rather have the one wallet that's designed to last for life and not have to think about it again. And that's choosing to use my disposable income less on short-term pleasures and junk and more on improving my life in meaningful ways. Every time I get out that wallet, I can appreciate what a fine piece of work it is. And like it's, you know, this is just yet another example of yet another money script that can improve your life, because the more you start to invest in quality once, the longer you'll go between having to reinvest. So the opposite side of that is buying something that's just cheap, except for it turns out it's junk. And you're going to have to replace it the next time and the next time and the next time and the next time. And you end up spending way more money in the long run by buying cheap stuff now, even if the cost is less today to buy it. So I don't know. That's a little run through of a bunch of invisible money scripts that you may have, and that lots of people have, and better money scripts that you can dig into. And all of this really to try to share with you the point, the lesson that these money scripts do impact your life. They impact your life in a big way. And the more that you can get, the more that you can get yourself aligned with the type of money scripts that will make your life meaningfully better, the better your life will be, and the easier it'll be to attract money, and the easier it'll be to keep money, and the easier it'll be to be a steward of money, and the easier it'll be to use money as a tool and have it create a positive impact on your life and in the world around you. And frankly, you know, like, I would much rather have this than have the types of struggles that come with having money scripts that will leave me perpetually broke and frustrated and overworked and underpaid. And the better your money scripts, the less likely you are to end up in those situations. What do you think? Leave a comment with this episode. Let me know on a scale of 1 to 10 how valuable you're finding this and why. What are your big takeaways, action items? Also, tap that like button before you go so you get more content like this delivered to you, and so the magical algorithms of the internet will share it with more people like you who will find it valuable. You can certainly share it with folks directly. And subscribe before you go. Subscribe here. You can also go to breakthroughmarketingsecrets.com, get my daily emails Monday through Friday, including these episodes and more exclusive content for email subscribers. And I will say that this one's more about money. If this is your first video with me, most of them are more about copywriting, selling, marketing, business building, entrepreneurship, and that type of content. But, you know, this all matters. And as an entrepreneur, one of the ways that we're keeping scores with money, and you'll end up with a higher score in the end if you have good money scripts. So I always aim for 10 out of 10 value. I hope that I've delivered it here, and I look forward to seeing you again in your next episode. I'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you once again for tuning in to this daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Remember, check out the links with this episode for even more value. Now make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, and engage in every way you can to keep this show going and growing and delivering daily value to you. I'll catch you soon for your next big breakthrough.